Following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, it is that time of the week. It is time for the True Wealth Radio Show on this, the greatest Tuesday you've had all week. And today in studio, I've got...
Justin Bruggeman.
Yep, not Matt Dixon, who's not here. And we can all throw rocks at him. It'll be great. But that is okay. Justin, also probably my right-hand man at the office and arguably the best planner I know. So that's useful. Thanks for joining me today.
Of course.
So we had this conversation and it went a little something like this. Hey, what do you think we should talk about today?
Yeah. Well, the end of the year's coming up.
So. And we said, well, how much time is left between now and the end of the year?
Yeah, about five and a half weeks, six weeks?
Yeah, yeah. And so we got to thinking, you know, what are we doing this time of year for all of our clients? And it's, yeah,
yeah.
End of year planning stuff.
End of year planning.
So as money managers, we're starting to look at how to try to potentially mitigate or affect taxes a little bit.
Right.
So we're playing the game of starting to look at tax loss harvesting. It's a really interesting time, by the way, because you could potentially sell out of positions and get back in before the end of the year. So that's a thing. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But it's also, hey, how can you move the chips around on the table to position yourself to sort of finish strong this year? And I'm not just talking about investment performance. I'm talking about tax efficiency and so forth. What are things that you can do that will optimize the things you're already working with? Right? So if we were to take a look at that, and here's the good news. It is not too late.
Nope.
Right? That's why we're really doing the show. So what are the things that sort of how you can do between now and the end of the year that can potentially improve your financial position? And these are going to be relevant irrespective of what happens in the marketplace.
Right.
So that's useful. As we kind of go out there, Justin, you know, somebody walks in the office and they tell you, hey, you know, what should I be doing in order to try to finish strong? What's one of the first things that you'd have folks look for?
Probably their contributions to different plans, 401k plans or, you know, IRAs, traditional IRAs. See if those need to get buttoned up by the end of the year, even though for IRAs, they don't technically have to because you have till the tax deadline. But for 401ks especially.
Yeah, yeah. Got to get so I think opportunity here. Let me frame this up. And maybe for this first segment, we'll use this as our framing. A lot of the things that you do from an efficiency perspective have to do with things that it's tax issues, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that ultimately it's tax issues. So if you were walking in, like let's say you're whoever's out there listening right now, if you walked into my office and you were not already a client, there are a few things that I would try to assess pretty quickly. And the first one is I want to get a sense of where your natural tax bracket is right now.
Okay.
Okay, that's going to say, well, what type of income sources are coming in to you and how are they tax treated?
Right.
So if you're on all disability, there's a good chance there's no taxes on that.
Right.
If you're here in the state of Oregon and you are exclusively on Social Security, depending, but you may not have any tax either.
Right.
But if you are still working and you have W-2 or 1099 income, likely going to be taxable.
Yep.
If you are retired and you're taking Social Security, but you also have pensions or distributions from retirement plans, there's going to be income.
Yep.
So what we want to do is take a look and say, well, how much income do you have? And then what are things we could do if appropriate? And I'm saying this intentionally, right? If appropriate, to lower your tax rate. Justin, why do I use the term if appropriate?
Well, because sometimes there's some income limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Also, maybe timing, because even a 401k contribution, say you're paid once a month, and you get your December paycheck is in January from the employee side, that's usually a 2026 contribution.
Yeah,
not
that kind of depends on how there is a grace period, and it just depends on, you know, certain issues. But if it's income that was earned in 2025, in many cases you have until the end of the pay period in January to have it put in for the previous year. But you got to kind of watch that. So I even though that should be the case every time, I say, you know what? I'm not going to operate under that assumption.
Right.
So those are pretty good. Talk to me a little bit about tax brackets also. Just generically, what happens as you earn more money?
You pay more in taxes.
There you go.
And it progressively gets higher and higher.
Yeah. And so the reason I say appropriate is because you may be in a fairly low tax bracket already.
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to play the game of increasing tax deductions may be of nominal value.
Right.
And it's also relevant because it depends on the year. Suppose you took a year off and you went from a high paying environment to no income for a year or two, and then you go back to work or you start drawing on retirement plans later. You may have a couple years with really low tax brackets.
Right.
And those can be strategically useful also.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole backdrop, and it's hard to give generic financial advice. Or financial planning advice, rather. So it's easy to give generic advice, but you know, the advice is going to be things like go see a tax pro or a financial advisor. They can help you decide if you're better off trying to move the tax brackets around with your behavior.
Okay.
If you're in a really low tax bracket, like here, by the way, is some fun examples of when you're in a really high tax bracket. We say make contributions to tax-deferred retirement plans that are deductible.
Correct.
Okay. If you're in a moderate tax bracket, you may be worth making after-tax deductions to Roth. Again, I'm not making a recommendation. I'm telling you it may be worth considering,
or
and that's
both,
what you
maybe.
Should be talking to your – yeah, there may be a split ticket on that is what we call it, some into each. What if you're in a really low tax bracket? Then there might be some unusual things that they don't occur to you initially, but it could be a good planning tool.
Well, I think it would kind of depend on if there's other assets in the relationship. It may be a good time for Roth conversions or something.
And that's what
like
I was
that.
Thinking too. So explain to our listeners the Roth concept, why that's a meaningful deal, and then why conversion is something that, and we're really cautious about this. It doesn't often make sense to do Roth conversions just because of math. Sometimes it really does, though. And so you need to be able to recognize the difference here. But talk to me about, first, what makes a Roth interesting from a planning perspective?
Well, because you make after-tax contributions to it. So you're already taxed on that money. And then it grows, tax-deferred, you know, pending you're past the five-year rule. And then when you take the distributions in retirement, it's tax-free.
Yeah.
So you pay no taxes on any of the gains.
There's another one that I don't think it's talked about enough. And I'm not setting you up for this, Justin. It's not really a benefit to the person that's spending money. It's a benefit if they don't spend it, and it's going to go to the next generation.
And no RMDs.
Right. That's another one.
Required minimum distributions.
That's a big deal that we don't offer again. The problem with financial terms for everybody out there is it's not like there's this handbook that we're all given in high school that says, here's all the rules that you're going to care about.
Right.
In fact, it's kind of the opposite. It's sort of like, well, go out there with no guidance whatsoever and best of luck to you. Yeah.
Here's all the rules. Pick.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you wanted to find the rules, a lot of people are like, I don't even know where to go find the rules.
Right.
Yeah, that sucks. And then not only that, but you got to follow them anyway and you know what they are.
Yeah.
Required distributions are something that happens. I think it's currently, age 73?
73, yes.
Yeah. So when you're 73 years old, so first, if you put money in a retirement plan, great. If you're not, you don't have to take it out until age 73 when Uncle Sam comes along and says,
I want
it's been long enough.
Yeah.
Right? Enough already. Pay your taxes. And they compel money out of these retirement plans. Well, what if you die and you haven't taken all the money out of your retirement plan? Then
it's the inheritor's problem.
Unless it's a spouse, right? There's some special rules if it's for your spouse. They can kind of just take over. But if it goes to anybody but a spouse, they now have a 10-year clock with which to get all the money out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And the taxes that you haven't paid, they get to pay at whatever their tax rate is. But now you can imagine you had a lifetime to take it out, and you could kind of control how much you take and when,
right,
to an extent. And so you could effectively navigate your taxes a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
If they inherit a pretty big chunk and they have 10 years to get it out of there, they may be forced to take big chunks of money out while they're still earning.
Right.
And so it just drives the taxes up significantly. This, by the way, was a change in the tax rules that was relatively recent. During the COVID years, it used to be you could stretch out those distributions over a lifetime.
Right.
Now, 10 years, got to get that money out of there. Why is the Roth such a clever planning tool?
Because you don't have to worry about the taxes.
Yeah. The heirs don't owe the tax either.
Yeah.
And so in retirement, at age 73, there's no compulsory withdrawals from Roth. That's a big deal, because you can imagine if you already have other income sources and now you're forced to take even more, it just makes your tax bracket go even higher. But a Roth, because that money, you've already paid taxes on it and you're not going to pay taxes when it comes out, the government says, I don't care if you take it out or not. There's no required distribution. Just play on. It's the heirs. They say, well, hey, you get 10 years, but you don't have to pay the taxes when they come out.
Right.
So if you're not living off of it, most people say, great, well, let's keep it invested for the next 10 years. And then right at the last second, we'll yank it out of there and you know, we won't have a tax burden. Huzzah. It creates a much more flexible tool if you're going to talk about generational wealth transfer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's why we like Roth.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's a more utility tool, but it has to make dollars and cents to do it.
Well, and it's becoming more and more popular for Roth options to be inside of 401ks as well.
Yes.
Which also does some trick thing, because if you transfer a Roth 401k and then put it into a Roth IRA, it starts the 5-year clock over again.
Yeah. The 5-year clock, by the way, if you didn't know about this, a Roth has to think about like a Roth has to sort of be alive for 5 years before it counts. So it's like, well, I have to plant it and it's going to take 5 years before it sprouts.
Right.
Okay. And if I move it from my 401k and I roll it over into something else, I replant it.
Yep.
And it takes 5 years from the point I replant it. That's the issue. So that's kind of a weird deal, but it's useful for you to just have that basic knowledge that, well, the Roth has to hit the qualifying things for it to become that cool tax-free instrument.
Yep.
If it's just a Roth IRA, the hurdle's a lot lower. When you start mixing 401k in there or conversion, then the hurdles get a little messier. But hey, that's what financial planners are for, right? To help you navigate that.
That's right. So,
I cannot believe it, but we are already long for a segment. We better take a break. We will come back. When we do, we have more things that you can do before the end of the year that will help optimize your financial situation. So stick around. We'll be right back. I am Dave Littlejohn.
And Justin Bruggeman.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 92.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right. Welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where today Justin Bruggeman and I are talking about things you can do between now and the end of the year. If you were just getting caught up and you missed the first segment, it will be available. Our podcast will have it. You can go to our website tomorrow at littlejohnfs.com and we'll get that posted for you so you can get caught up. But Justin, more stuff to do between now and the end of the year. We talked about maxing out retirement plan contributions. What are some of the other things that people ought to look at?
HSA contributions.
Okay, health savings accounts. That's a good one. Caveats, right? You got to be eligible for an HSA. That means you have to have a qualified high deductible health plan.
Yep.
But if you do in fact qualify, that can be useful because you can put money into that. It can be a deduction from your against your income. So that is a something that's going to lower your adjusted gross income.
Mm-hmm.
And if the money comes out for qualified healthcare expenses, it can be tax free.
And they actually carry over. So if you don't spend it, that one's okay.
Can you explain the carryover concept real quick? What are we talking about?
Yeah,
there?
So like a flexible spending account, if you don't use it by the end of the year, you lose it.
Ah, okay.
And so an HSA can carry over to further years, next year, the year after, as long as it, and it can still, you know, be tax-free, assuming that it's used for qualified medical expenses.
Yes. You know, here's a funny one. I've heard some sort of tax strategists suggest that HSAs can even be useful for retirements because you can save your receipts and essentially bank them. So if you don't if you don't use the receipt in the year, you can save it and kind of in the future sort of bring those out and reclaim them. Now, I'm not offering tax advice here. I'd say your mileage may vary. Choose your tax advisor wisely, that kind of thing. But my understanding is that you can essentially bank the receipts or the and so, you know, you pay for it out of pocket. You mm-hmm. keep the receipt and later you submit the receipt and you reclaim it. And so you could do a bulk claim in retirement and pull a big chunk out and it becomes tax-free later. So now, is that wise? Hard to say. You know, if your income tax bracket's higher in retirement, I suppose it's wise. If it's higher now, I'm not sure that you're really money ahead to not get the tax savings in your higher tax bracket year. I think the way the math works out, you're probably better off just taking it now as it's incurred. But again, that's going to be some decisions between you and your tax pro and what your financial strategy is.
I wonder if they expire. I wonder, like the receipts, like can you use them 15 years?
That allegedly yes.
Oh,
allegedly yes. So you have to have the documentation to be able to prove it.
Right.
But that it is, it's a little bit like a loss carry forward.
Right.
Right. That you could just kind of bank it indefinitely until it's used up. So yeah, that's and again, we're not technically tax advisors here, so. So this is like, we could talk about taxes, but we can't give you advice on them. So that's just one of those that, because we are practicing fiduciary advisors, I got to put that disclaimer out there for you. Plus, my compliance officer tells me that has to happen.
Yep.
So
got to keep her happy.
Yes. Yes. So, all right. So, and FSAs, yeah, the use it or lose it, that's a big deal. By the way, they work really similar to HSAs in that, you know, if it's qualified expenses, then you're taking pre-tax money and paying for stuff. So it becomes tax-free. But and they're less popular these days. I don't hear nearly as much about FSAs as I used to. The HSA has become the bigger deal, I think. So, okay. Well, what are some of the other things that people ought to be thinking about as we are, again, down to kind of almost through November here.
Yep.
The holiday season is it flies by. So really in these final weeks where you still have time to do something, what else should we be looking at?
The other would be some tax loss harvesting.
Okay. I love this name. I know what it means.
Right.
But I'm going to ask you to, for the benefit of our listeners that are like, what is tax loss harvesting?
So in an account that is not tax deferred.
Okay, so non-retirement accounts.
A non-retirement account. Even on years like this, even this year, it's been a good year. But sometimes there's some bad eggs in the portfolios that have losses in it, which isn't always a bad thing.
Yeah, this, I'm going to give you a chance to please explain this, but when you say, you're telling me that a stock can have a loss and that's not a bad thing.
Well, it's sort of because you can use it to offset some gains in another
position.
It's
a little bit like making lemonade from lemons here. It's not that you want to see losses in stocks, but if you have them, then make the best of them. And here's what you do. So, So how does this work?
So you can you can sell a position at a loss. And as long as you don't repurchase that position in 30 days, you can offset against gains in another position. Long-term capital gains, there's a limit of $3,000 a year, I believe.
But I think no, that's a good news. Not to like you. It's carryover.
Carryover.
Yeah,
you can only carry over.
Well, that's, you actually have an unlimited carryover of losses, but you can offset $3,000 against income, which is kind of wild, right?
Right.
If you have capital losses, you can offset your income by a certain threshold. If you don't have any other gains that are corresponding, think about this for a second. It's kind of like high school math. So everybody's going to have like a little PTSD for a minute from their high school math, right? But you know how you have the equal sign and the equation has to balance on both sides,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the whole idea, is that the equations balance on both sides of the equal. That's kind of how taxes work too. Like if you have losses and you have gains, you're allowed to zero them out against each other. So if I made $5,000 in profit over here, but I had $5,000 of losses somewhere else, then I effectively have no gain or loss because
Correct.
They cancel each other out. If I have $10,000 of losses and $5,000 of gains, I have $5,000 of losses, right? Because I had $10,000 of loss,
right.
but the gain kind of
Correct.
Erased some of the loss. And so if I were to, again, you have to realize these losses. Like if I just
right.
own a stock and I haven't bought or sold it, I don't right. have the profit or loss yet. I have a potential profit or loss until I sell. But if I have a realized loss and a realized gain and they zero out and I still have a loss, then I might be able to use some to offset income. And if I can't, then I can hang on to those losses and bank them
right.
and move them into the future. And then if I have gains in the future, then I can offset those future gains with these losses that I'm banking. That's the idea of loss carry forward.
Right.
Now we've established the whole PTSD high school math idea, right? Tax loss harvesting is this idea of, hey, I have some profits in my investments. If I sell them, I'm going to have to pay taxes.
Right.
And we go, well, what if we took the area that you had losses in, sold those on purpose, and then we were able to sell some of your profit and match the loss?
Mm-hmm.
Now you have kind of a zero tax position. Why would we do that?
Because nobody likes taxes.
Because nobody likes taxes. And because what it does is it resets, if we want to buy back the stocks that we sold after 30 days, we avoid something called a wash sale.
Mm-hmm.
A wash sale just means whatever taxes you thought you were going to manipulate, no.
Right? Right.
It doesn't count. Right? You bought it back too soon. You're a day trader now. It doesn't count. But once you've waited past the wash sale time, you can buy back and it's like a fresh start. You get an all new starting value, what we call basis. And so it's a new point to calculate profits from. So it's useful, especially if you have some really highly appreciated assets.
Right.
Sometimes you find, I have so much money, so much profit, I don't want to sell it.
Yeah.
Because I'll just get killed in taxes. So then what we do is, well, let's harvest losses in other areas of your investment world and then use that to systematically scale back or reduce the positions that are really high profit,
right?
So that you can kind of sell out of a little bit. I will still suggest, if you're afraid to sell a position because of taxes, wait long enough and usually that problem can go away.
Right.
Yeah, which is another way of saying careful, because that position could stop being profitable in the future.
Right.
And then all of that work was for naught. So we try not to let taxes wag the dog, but they're relevant.
Correct.
Right. So, all right. So that's the primers of tax loss harvesting, huh? And is it time just faster in the holiday season? Is that what's going on? I'm looking at the clock already. Go,
yeah.
We're like literally, we got to take another break. And I'm like, we talked about tax loss harvesting and HSAs and FSAs. We got to talk faster. All right, we'll do that. But we got to take another break. So stick around when we come back. There are still more things you can do between now and the end of the year that can improve your financial position, and we are not done talking about it. We'll be right back. I am Dave Littlejohn.
And Justin Brugman.
You got True Wealth on News Radio 92.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Justin Bergman.
Okay, Justin, we are walking our listeners through the year-end planning and what they can do to sort of optimize and tweak their financial situation, maybe reduce tax exposure, reposition things. And keep in mind, guys, gals, everybody out there listening, that it's maybe a multi-year process. Okay, one of the things that's very interesting, we've had people that say want to take distributions from retirement plans. And they go, well, yeah, but if I take too much, I'm going to find myself in a higher tax bracket. You go, okay, well, it's December. Why don't you take some now and some in January? You can spread it over two tax years. And they go, huh, yeah, that could work. So, you know, a couple of weeks apart, not a big deal. So it works out in their plan.
Yep.
So that is a potential option.
There. Happens more often than you think, even.
It really does. We have several of those every year mm-hmm. that end up happening. So these are just, I like to think of it as bullying your tax rate.
Yeah.
You know? So what are some other things folks can look at toward the end of the year? We've, you know, now we've gone over a bunch of them, right? We've talked about retirement plan contributions.
Right.
We talked about the concept of converting Roth IRAs and whether or not that's appropriate. We've talked about HSAs and FSAs. What else do we need to talk about?
Well, I mean, there's some new things in this one big beautiful bill, they want to call it.
Yep, yep.
Car loan interest deduction, apparently, as long as, you know, it's...
Yeah, with some caveats.
With some caveats. You know, I think purchased in 2025, but it goes through, I think, 2028.
Yes.
And I think you can write off, like, what, up to $10,000 or something like that?
That's what I'm reading. These are for personal vehicles.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, you can write off. And it's a little trickier. You're not writing off the vehicle. You're writing off the interest on the loan.
Yeah, right? Correct.
So, hey, I have a loan, and I'm paying interest on it. Okay, well, the interest becomes deductible. The interesting the phrase we use is above the line.
Right.
Okay, this is kind of a tax phrase, but it just means that it's going to reduce your adjusted gross income, and you don't have to itemize deductions. So on top of your standard deduction, right, you can get this as well. But there are rules. It's got to be domestically assembled vehicle. Funny phrasing, right? Not domestically manufactured,
right,
domestically assembled. And it's got to be for personal use. It's got to be new. So those are all elements at play here. It's one of those where you should know about it. If you're going to be purchasing a vehicle, it's worth investigating whether or not you can write it off.
And if you did purchase one, it's worth looking into.
Correct. Correct. So, yeah, that's kind of an interesting one. There are some phase outs, too. If you make too much money, you're not going to be able to get it and whatnot. But nevertheless, worth doing the homework. There are some other interesting ones that came up in the Big Beautiful Bill as well, that have to do with wages from tips or overtime,
mm-hmm.
okay? And again, there are caveats to this, but there's a certain amount of tip income that is tax exempt, while there's a certain amount of overtime income that can be tax exempt.
Right.
It is capped out. There are income thresholds and so forth for it, but it's very possible that if you're a person that has either tip income or overtime income, you may find that you can get a chunk of that tax-free. And I expect that a lot of this is going to show up in like the TurboTax programs.
I would hope.
I would think virtually all of the tax softwares out there, they're going to pick this up and kind of just hold your hand through it. So if you're like, oh, I better remember that, I trust that the software wizards will walk you through this too. Even the tax forms, I think, should be asking the question. So
I would hope.
You know, I don't think it's something where, you know, if you just follow the instructions, you should figure this stuff out.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be hidden.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a lot of people don't know that
it's
thing
here
either. Funny enough, can I point this out for our listeners? This idea of, well, there's the interest on the loan for my car is going to be tax deductible. That doesn't mean it's tax-free, and it doesn't mean the car price was any lower. It
doesn't mean you should go buy a car because
right.
of it.
Right. That's the thing that I was angling toward is, oh, wait, well, there's a tax incentive for me to go get a new car. It's like, okay, well, let's math this out. I bought a $50,000 car.
Right.
I got car payments on it right now, and I have interest on $50,000 bucks. Let's call it 10%. great. Well, if I have $5,000 of interest a year, I get to write off $5,000 against my taxes.
And, right.
Yeah. If you're in a 22% tax bracket, you saved $1,000 off your interest cost.
Right.
So you've spent $50,000 to save $1,000 off your taxes. I don't know that the math's that great.
Nope, math ain't mathing.
Now, if you needed a car anyway, maybe, but you don't go buy one just because this tax thing is out there.
What is this? Spend a dollar to save a quarter? Is that?
Yeah. Well, there's so many things, right? Oh, it's on sale, so I better go buy it. So
right.
Were you going to buy it if it wasn't on sale?
No.
So it's not really a sale, is it? Now we incentivize you to spend money you weren't going to spend.
Isn't that what they call girl math now?
You know what? I don't go there on this show. I'll get blown up, bro. I will get blown up. Yeah, it's totally girl math. And you know what? If that offends you, I don't even care. It's funny. Come on. Get a sense of humor. We're killing off the days where we couldn't be funny are over. Let's have fun again. So where does that leave us on our segments? As I'm looking around, we've got car interest deductions. We know don't buy up here at the tax break. Overtime and tip we talked about. Yeah, I feel like we got the biggies.
The other big one is coming the beginning of the year with new tax changes is keep track of your withholding to make sure you don't have surprises next year. This year is probably a little late.
I don't think you're going to move the needle a whole lot adjusting your withholdings for your final paycheck.
Right. And especially just this, with a bunch of new tax changes and things like that, it's probably a good thing just to look into, because nobody likes that shocker, for 2027.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting. I don't think a ton of rules are going to change.
Doesn't
next
seem
year.
To.
That's the one that I'm hopeful for. I suppose maybe here in Oregon, the whole gas tax fiasco that we're navigating right now. And I will just say, I don't like when legislatures take things that the voters have specifically spoken about and then try to do end arounds with policy.
Right.
I think there's a spirit of law and then there's the letter of the law. And when both are sort of flaunted, I'm like, wait a second here. Why are we doing this again? And if the answer is, well, because we can and because it's just too hard to save money elsewhere.
Right.
Well, but I could probably do an entire show's worth of rant about how we have sort of gotten off course philosophically in how we govern.
At least one.
So I'll spare all of our listeners that. I'll tell you, it's not a partisan rant, by the way. It's just a good one about, like, here's all the places we're screwing this thing up.
Yep.
And so I could probably get a whole bunch of hurrahs and a handful of people that would, bring pitchforks. So, here's the good news. I have a checklist, right? In my hot little hand is this checklist that I have for everybody. And I think this might be the best way to play this. If we take our last break now, which is pretty much on time, then we can come back and go through this end of year checklist. And it makes for a really clean segment. It also means on the podcast we get a really clean segment because some of you are going to listen to this again. So why don't we do this? We'll take that last break. When we come back, Justin and I are going to just kind of give you the highlights. This is like the cheat sheet of year-end planning. Not everything, but a lot of big ones. So check them out. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Justin Bruggeman.
And we got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, crew, welcome back to the home stretch of the True Wealth Show, where I, your host, Dave Littlejohn, am in studio with
Justin Bruggeman.
And Justin, I am stoked that you're here today. Matt is off, evidently hunting his own turkey or something.
Perfect.
It probably, that wouldn't even surprise me, by the way. I say it like a joke, but that could totally be happening for real.
It actually could.
And if it wasn't happening, Matt could give me no less than three places he could go to find a turkey if he needed to. And then he could tell me the stories of the number of times he'd driven past and thought about it. So, I love Matt.
He's me too.
We're about to take this show, and if you have missed parts of it, you're in luck. We're going to give you the Cliff Notes version of this entire show over the next 6 minutes or so.
Yep.
And we're just going to kind of give you the end-of-year checklist. Again, this is not a completely exhaustive and comprehensive list. This is a great highlights and just enough to wet your whistle. And if you need more, you see me after class kind of list.
Right.
Okay? So, Justin, let's just kind of make our way down here. What's the first thing on somebody's list that they need to be doing at the end of the year?
Well, make 401k, 403b, or employer retirement plan contributions and or max out if...
Yeah, if you're able.
If you're able.
Right? So I like that one. So, and especially if there's a match.
Correct.
Okay. Now, the match thing, by the way, that's got to be the biggest no-brainer out there.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because if you put in a dollar and they put in a dollar, you first of all, the money just doubled.
Yeah.
Even if you pulled it out and paid penalties,
right,
you're still money ahead. So get the
assuming
match.
Assuming you're vested.
Yeah, assuming you're vested, if you pull the money out. But most of the time anymore, a lot of these match programs, the match gets vested pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's the first one. What is next?
Well, this one, IRA and Roth IRA contributions, which you have until the tax deadline, but keep it in the top of your head.
Yeah, that one's fun. I mean, if you're just trying to do regular monthly contributions to just kind of peg it out, then go ahead and do it that way. But you're right. You have until tax deadline of next year to make your contributions for this year. That's on the personal side, right? IRAs are personal versus employer-sponsored plans on the professional side.
Right.
Okay, here's one that we do have to be timely. It has to happen in the year that in the calendar year.
Yep.
If you're looking at converting any kind of IRA assets into Roth IRA, then those conversions need to happen in the calendar year in order to be credited in the calendar year.
Yes.
All right.
Take required minimum distributions. Okay. If it's not your first year, you have until April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
But the following year, you have to do it by December 31st as well. So sometimes you have to take two in the same year.
Yeah. It can be a little wonky, mm-hmm. but this is a big deal too, because if you don't, the penalty's really high.
Yeah,
it's like 50%.
Yeah.
So if you don't do it, you're basically giving the government half of what you were supposed to take out.
Right.
So you just do it. And we can all complain about the fact that we have to, but it doesn't change the fact that we have to.
Right.
Right. All right. We talked a little bit about this one, the idea of harvesting tax losses or gains
mm-hmm.
to optimize your investment strategy and to manage the basis of your portfolio.
Right.
So that's pretty good. Again, if that doesn't make sense, then you got to go get the podcast and go listen to it.
Oh, I'm going to skip this one because I feel like we should save it for the end.
Okay, we'll save that one.
Spend down FSA accounts, flexible spending accounts, because that deadline's December 31st.
Mm-hmm. And remember, those are the ones that come with cafeteria plans, and the FSA, that's the use it or lose it stuff.
Yep.
You spend it down because you may as well, because you can't take it with you. The other, and like an FSA, but it's different. It's not the same thing. The HSA, right? The health savings account. That's the one that you have to have the high deductible health plan to be qualified for. But that's the one you can put contributions in pre-tax. And if the money is used for qualified health expenses, that it can be used tax-free. So it's like the even better than a Roth IRA for health expenses.
Right.
Okay, what else have we got here?
Review and update beneficiary destinations. That's a really, on your accounts, transfer on death or beneficiaries, make sure they're up to date.
Because
life changes.
This is something you should just audit from time to time. And it's not because they necessarily changed. Like, it may be the same people. It's because you want to make sure that they're properly listed.
Right.
So you just kind of confirm that everything's in good order. So that's housekeeping stuff. But yeah, make sure that if you croak, the people that you want to get the stuff are listed. By the way, you want to know one of the dangers? You know what I'm thinking too. It's not always that you died, but your beneficiaries change when there's major life changes.
Correct.
So it could be that the beneficiary is no longer around, or it could be that the beneficiary is no longer part of your family.
Correct.
Right? Like, if you go through a divorce and you leave your former spouse as a beneficiary, something happens to you, if you ever have a new spouse or other family members, they could be in for a rude awakening if that other spouse is still listed because they still legally get it.
Yep.
So that is a biggie right there.
Estimate and adjust tax withholdings. That's, you know, we're a little late on that, but, you know, for 2026.
Yes. It's not super late. If you have a business, for example, you may still be able to cram some into a retirement. Like, you could create a business retirement account, and you might be able to do some tax optimization. So I wouldn't throw in the towel on these ideas. I would just say they're more applicable for some than others. The idea of investment rebalancing, I think that kind of comes along with tax loss harvesting. And you also want to be sure you don't necessarily want to rebalance in December if you have a bunch of gains. Right, you may intentionally wait until the following year because then you have an opportunity to rebalance. Yes, you've got gains, but you've got a year to potentially have other losses to mitigate them as well. So you have more. You're buying yourself more time to navigate the taxes if you are strategic about when you do rebalances. So
And large deductible business or medical expenses if itemizing.
Yep, medical is an interesting one. If memory serves, I think medical expenses are deductible if they exceed 7.5% of your adjusted gross income.
That's what I was thinking.
It's usually pretty high if you run into that, but it's a thing. The business deductions are a big one, right? It could be that you've had a really good year. Right now, things like Section 179 bonus depreciation are back on the table, and accelerated depreciation. So it might be worth, you know, some people buy vehicles, things like that, because they can deduct the entire vehicle using some of these tools. Again, talk to a tax pro about this stuff. We're giving you ideas, not advice right now. So make sure you talk to a tax pro. Now we're getting into the stuff that we were skipping over. I think some of this end of year stuff that's pretty pretty interesting and relevant too. What if you're getting older and you've got when I say older, let's just be real. Like, if you're thinking to yourself, I have less than 10 years that I'm probably still consuming oxygen on this planet. Oregon's a pretty expensive place to die.
Correct.
The estate tax threshold is very low. You may want to intentionally give some of your stuff away.
Yep.
Okay. And there are a couple ways you can do this, right? Well, more than a couple, lots of ways you can do it, but there's an exempt amount that you give. What does the exempt mean?
It means it's not included in your exclusion amount for federal purposes, which is, I think they just changed it to 10 million.
It's higher than that. It's like almost, it's 12 and a half million, I think. It's really high.
I think they adjusted it down.
Oh,
with this
interesting.
New one.
If they dropped it down, it's still pretty high, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, what happens is if you give too much money, then the IRS says, well, if you give over this much in your lifetime, we're still going to tax you on it, even though you gave it away.
Right.
Unless you give it to charity, which is why all these ultra wealthy people create their own charities and then give it to that, like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, right?
Right.
The idea here, though, is you may want to look at intentionally making gifts. Another thing that you might do, let's say you're in a particularly high income year this year, and then your income is going to be lower in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You may, this is particularly interesting for people that are routine gifters, like maybe you're tithing or you give every year to a charity or something. There is an option called a donor advised fund. You could essentially take a larger deduction right now, put everything into a donor advised fund, and then what you do is you sort of dole out your donations over time from that fund. So you capture the deduction up front, and then you are able to systematically distribute later from that fund to the qualified charities.
Right.
So everything we're talking about here, confirm with the tax pro. Don't just take our word for it because we said it out loud on the radio. And then I think the last hygiene one is the credit thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it? Well, I guess not. So it's review your estate plan.
Yeah.
We got that one. So that kind of falls under the beneficiary step, but make sure your estate's in good order. And you can pull your credit once a year,
yeah,
and it doesn't ding you.
And
so
you should.
It's a good idea just to make sure everything's clean and in good order.
I think especially now with, you know, even with all of this AI and everything's done electronically now, it's probably more important than ever.
Yeah. And you just don't want stuff to sneak in there. Yeah. Identity theft is a real thing. So monitoring your credit is a great way to protect your identity. So those are kind of the highlights of the hygiene for the end of the year here. What? I guess I want to give everybody a chance. If this flew by and blew by, then one, if you want the checklist, we have this list that we can get to you. Send us an email at info@littlejohnfs.com and we can get you this list if you'd just like it so that you've got a handy checklist in your inbox. Like I said, it's not comprehensive. It's not tax advice, but it's just a useful personal checklist. Otherwise, how can they reach us if they need more?
They can give the office a call, 541-375-0898. And we can receive text messages to that same number as well.
All right. So there you go. If you need help, like I said, many, many times, if it's not us, find somebody you like and trust. But otherwise, give us a shout. Can't believe it. We're out of time. So until next time, thanks for tuning in. This has been True Wealth.